Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom Podcast, a podcast on the Love Thy Nerd Network, where you can check it out over at lovethynerd.com/faithandfandom, and hear some other great guests. You can also head over to Love Thy Nerd's podcast network to hear from Humans of Gaming and lots of other cool podcasts that are on there. Today I am joined by Candace Hicks, who is a licensed clinical mental health counselor. Booyah, all the right words. She's also a cool, person. And, if you like, so you've got all the credentials for your professional mental health thing, on this level, what degree of professional nerd would you qualify yourself as?
Professional nerd?
Oh, like, between cosplay, anime, video game stuff, like if it's on a level, where would you be?
I would say adept.
Adept. Okay. Okay. I like that. I started playing Baldur's Gate 3 the other week, and I'm like, oh, I'm terrible at this. This is not a hack and slash game. I'm dying a lot.
I love it. It's got me in a chokehold. I've been playing it for the past week and a half.
Okay, so we're about on par. I got to some point where there was like a goblin trap at like an abandoned village or something. And I straight got murked. Like, I was like, it's goblins. How hard can it be? Dead. So I snuck, or I don't want to give you too many spoilers. Have you met Raphael yet?
Yes.
Okay. So I snuck around the goblin house and then like, oh, here's Satan. Like, crap. It's like, but either way, so what are your favorite nerdy passions? Like, what are the things that you are into most? Like, what gives you joy in that bubble?
Oh my goodness. Well, my first love is anime. Probably elementary school, I got into Sailor Moon, and that kind of opened the door to everything else.
Was it on Toonami?
It was on Toonami.
Yes. I have a Tom the Robot Funko somewhere in that mix.
Oh, that's awesome. So Sailor Moon, got into anime. And then, of course, having an older brother, I end up getting into gaming. So I think we had a Super Nintendo. I think it was the Super Nintendo that got me into gaming. And then over the past 5 years, I've gotten into cosplay, which has been pretty pretty amazing to be a part of.
And, you know, I'm not just saying this because you're on my podcast. I've always found your cosplays really impressive.
Thank you.
You're Dr. Facilier, if I'm saying his name right. I always mess that up. I love that one. You have an anime one that I don't know the name of because I don't know the thing. What's that one for the people that are going to recognize it?
I have a, you must be talking about Hollybell.
The white suit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I know it looks cool. I just don't know what it is. So what's that from?
That is from Bleach.
Okay, that is Bleach. Okay. I thought so. Cool. All right. Is there any cosplays you wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
Yes. I want to work on Buddha from Record of Ragnarok.
Okay.
And I've been wanting to do, what is his name? Gearless Joe. I've been wanting to do a gender bend of Gearless Joe from Megalobox.
Okay. All right. What's your favorite anime?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. Oh my goodness.
Give me top three.
Top three? Clannad, Bleach. Oh my god. And My Love Story.
My Love Story. Okay. Nice. On this, just being what you do for a career and life and everything, have you ever watched Your Lie in April?
I have.
Boy, that's a heavy burden. and also, have you watched Delicious in Dungeon?
I have not gotten to that. It's on my list.
I'm enjoying that. It is because it's dropping weekly on Netflix, and it's a delightful addition to my week. Like, because it literally goes half D&D, half cooking show.
Interesting. Okay.
The whole premise is a team had made it to a bottom level of a dungeon almost, and their main magic user is being eaten by a dragon. And so she portals everybody else out of the dungeon so they'll live. She gets swallowed by the dragon and she's dead. But in this storyline, as long as you can get to somebody before they're fully digested, you can bring them back. So their goal is they're trying to speed run through the dungeon to get back down there so they can bring the girl back to life. But they don't have money or food. And so they just come up with a plan. They're just going to eat monsters. And one of the dudes just happens to have a monster cookbook. And so it's like they'll fight a baddie and then be like, oh, here's a delicious way you can do this. And it does the like the glory shot of an anime meal. And it's just like they learn a lesson. It's beautiful. That's just fun.
Okay.
It's one of the most like le non-stressful animes, just for fun. I enjoy it a lot. So you're also a gamer. What's your favorite game?
Of all time, Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64.
Okay. Do you want a like modern remake?
That's a good question. I'm gonna say yes because I would like to see it with our current graphics. That's the only reason why.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your favorite thing you're playing now?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay. What's your class for your character?
I am going with the Druid.
Okay. All right. You're also a big wrestling fan, correct?
I am. I haven't watched in a while, but I am.
Okay. Like when you were watching, what was your favorite thing?
Well, I watched a lot when we still had like The Undertaker, Kane, The Rock. So I was really into the like larger than life characters, right? Like, so the characters you wouldn't see on the street, where more so now I feel like everybody's just a little bit generic. That's just my perspective. But I love the larger than life characters.
My the dudes who run Dragon's Lair have a rock band called Fear State, and I wanted to support them, and they were performing at a wrestling match on Fifth Street in Lumberton
Oh
at
my
the flea
goodness. Okay.
market. And I was like, well, you're less than a mile from my house. I think I'm legally required to go to your concert. And so I took my smallest human with me. And just for the concert, we were going for the rock. And she fell in love with the wrestling. And there were like everything was good, but there were two female wrestlers. One was named Amanda Kiss, like good pun name, and Audrey Allen. And it turned out that was like their first matches. And so
Oh, wow.
now my daughter is like heavily invested into their careers, even though they're like indie wrestlers. But then like from that, she fell in love with Rhea Ripley, and that's her thing now. So like we watch PLE events and everything, and she's just really passionate about it. But like literally, I went from the last time I really cared was Mick Foley until now. We watch this on a regular basis because it makes her happy. And I surprised her with her birthday last year, took her to the WWE event they had in Fayetteville. And
Oh.
like she fell asleep in the car leaving dance recital and woke up at WWE without knowing any of it was happening. And then had the time of her life and everything. And then like Cody Rhodes started like walking around the barrier signing autographs and stuff, but we were in the cheap seats, literally threw her over the barricade, and like she ran down, he like put his hand on her shoulder, signed her belt, whole deal, like she's set for life.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, it's like in terms of good first experiences at a wrestling match, you can't beat that. My first wrestling match, which was also in Fayetteville like forever ago, Macho Man Randy Savage bit half of his tongue off.
My gosh, no.
Just remember being like, okay, that happened. So you are, as we said, a licensed clinical mental health counselor. What led you down that road?
That's a wonderful question. So personally, as a little peep, I dealt with like a lot of bullying and things like that. So as I got older, I said that I wanted to be the person that someone could come to when they need help, that can help them walk through very challenging things. And that can be that positive support, because I can remember being very by myself and lonely when things like that would happen. And so I think first, actually, I wanted to be a zoologist for some weird reason, and then try to get my degree in biology, but that was not working. Then I was like, well, let me go into counseling. That can really help people.
Is there, are you at the place you want to be in your professional journey of like that, or is there something else you want to pursue on that level too?
I want my own private practice to where I am working more with the geek population within geek culture. I really want to get out into our community, to teach more about mental health, how to take care of ourselves, how to be more cohesive as a community. And so that would lead to private practice, going to cons, getting my name out there, and becoming a resource. So that's kind of the end game. That's where I would like to get to.
Okay. I'm not telling you what you need to do with your life or anything, but just saying, I think it would be super dope if you had a mental health panel at cons. Razzle dazzle.
Noted.
Because I meant like between Fayetteville, GalaxyCon, all those things, if you submit that as a panel idea and just say, look, I'm an actual mental health professional, I'm a geek, I think I'd be dope. Just to have a Q&A, something like that. I think it'd be awesome. So you've been, how long have you been a counselor now?
Oh my goodness. I have been counseling since 2015.
Wow. Okay. That's a hot
Yes.
minute. Have you thought of quitting?
I have at times. However, there are points in my career where I was doing more like community mental health, and that can be very stressful and discouraging.
Okay.
But when once I was able to transition to private practice, it has become more hopeful and a lot more fun and exciting.
Okay. What do you feel like is the biggest deterrent from people actually getting help with mental health?
Judgment. And we still deal with a lot of stigma when it comes to mental health. I still get people come in thinking that they're crazy for seeking help, or there's something really wrong with them when they're coming to get help, and that no one is really going to sit down and listen to them whenever they come in, and and they get into the chair. And along with that, I have had people who have sought help, and that professional actually caused more damage than help. And then they come to me, and then you kind of have to repair and try to get them to open up again in order to heal. So things like that can keep someone from seeking the help and taking the journey.
Okay. What does that look like to do damage control or damage repair, like in terms of that?
It just starts out with really building trust. Like you kind of have to take the heat from whoever they come, who from wherever they come from. They can be very bitter, angry, but once you're able to get through the anger, through the bitterness, and show them that, like, hey, this is a safe space, you can trust me, then you're able to move on with the healing.
Okay. When it comes to how you're perceived, like, do you feel like it's easy for your people to actually trust you?
That's a really good question. Yes and no, because I have peeps that come in that they jump right in, there's no issue. But then I have peeps that come in where it takes, they may not really open up for like 6 months to a year. So it depends on the person.
I've been talking with a friend recently who is also a counselor, but she says her therapist is the only person she's honest with. And, in that capacity, it's just like, I appreciate that. It's hard to think of, like, I don't think there are many people that we feel like we can be open and honest with without receiving judgment. And have you watched Ted Lasso yet?
I have not.
Okay. One of the whole second season of Ted Lasso deals with mental health and a therapist. Like, that's the whole focus of the second season. And at one point, the main character says to the therapist, "You only care because you're paid to care." And there was like a whole backstory of his marriage counselor furthered his divorce and then dated his wife. And so he's got, resentment and, when it comes to mental health and counseling and stuff like that. But what's it like for you to actually, because you don't do this just for money. You do this because you actually care about people. What are the things that you do to actually build trust? Like, if you can share that, like, what are things you do to build trust with your people?
Well, the first thing is to actually get their perspective on what they think therapy is. A lot of people actually don't really know the process and, what it all entails. Okay. A lot of people think you're just coming in, sitting down, and having someone ask you a bunch of questions, or you just spill your heart out all the time, which isn't the case, right? And then after you get their idea of what therapy is, you build a plan off of their needs. Like, so what are you looking for? Like, what are you wanting to build on? Because I'm very client-centered. Like, I meet the person where they're at, and I'm going to walk with you whatever you're going through. So when they're able to have a say-so in their care plan, it opens up the opportunity for them to be like, wow, I'm being seen. Wow, I'm being listened to. And that allows you to begin to build rapport and to build trust with them.
Okay. You mentioned, just briefly earlier that with geek therapy, and that's something you want to pursue. What does that look like? Why, how is that different? How is that implemented?
So geek therapy is all about taking a person's passion and incorporating it into their care plan. So for an example, I get a lot of my peeps that are into anime right now. So either they're watching Demon Slayer, My Hero Academia, JJK, things like that. So usually I'll ask them, hey, so who's your favorite character? And they'll, they light up and they start talking about it. And then I ask them, okay, so what's some of the strengths of your favorite character? Can you relate to those strengths? Is there anything about that character you wish you had more of in your own personal life? So geek therapy is just taking like, hey, I love this. How can I relate it to my real life? What can I take from it?
Okay. Does like so do you do like home like in that capacity, would you like do homework on their passions, like, so that you can be able to communicate with them better?
I do. Yes, I do.
Have you found anything you love from doing that?
When for some of them, I'll surprise them. So they may mention like an anime that I've never heard of, right? And so I research it, I'll start watching it. And so the next session when they come in, I start talking about it, they kind of light up like, oh my gosh, you were listening to me. You're actually interested. And that to me is very important because there's so many people that, they share things with other people. And a lot of people, they don't care, which is hurtful, right? So just seeing like, hey, I'm out here trying to get help and you're actually listening to me and you're actually kind of interested in what I'm interested in, that's a really big piece for me. It helps you feel really connected, like you're genuinely trying to connect with them.
Okay. You like off camera and everything, we were talking about some of the material you used, you or like some of the process with that. You want to talk, tell me about that, like with the, yeah, if you don't, if you can.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the biggest things that I do is trying to get everyone to create a resiliency plan. And usually what I start out with is I encourage my person to think of a character that they can relate to, or they can kind of create themselves as a character. So whether it's a character from an anime, from a game, superhero, whatever they want. And what I'll get them to do is, for an example, if they choose to relate to the My Hero Academia fandom, right? They'll create a character, whether they draw it out or they'll kind of describe in a paragraph. I'll ask them to create a quirk that directly relates to their personal strength. So, for an example, I had one person that is really good at critical thinking. So they would have a quirk that has something to do with them using their brain or some kind of telekinesis or something like that. And that allows them to, one, relate to something that they're passionate about, and two, be able to say, well, I have something cool about me too. So that's one really big thing that I like to use. Your resiliency plan is created to kind of be like a self-care plan. So, if you're able to figure out how to take care of yourself emotionally, mentally, your social life, and then physically, usually you'll see a lot of symptoms that a person may have kind of decrease. And then relating to a character, making it a little bit more enjoyable and fun, they're more likely to follow along with the resiliency plan. So that's one big thing that I like to use.
That's awesome. Being in the nerd world, being in the geek world, the fandom world, what do you feel like is the biggest need in terms of mental health for just the geek community at large?
I feel like we need to know the difference, between us coping and avoiding. And I say that because of what we like, it is so easy to get really trapped within it, and not deal with problems that we may have in our life that's causing emotional distress. And so I think we really need to be cautious of, when we are, for an example, if I'm playing a game, am I using it to completely avoid and escape something I need to fix in my life? Or am I using it in a healthy way with coping, meaning I'm still addressing what I need to do in my life, and I'm enjoying my game? I think that's one of the big things that we need to learn and that we need to hear about.
Awesome. Man, that's really good. Just pausing and drinking that in for a second. What would it like, what outside of therapy and going to counseling, are there things that you feel like, because the hard thing is the majority of the people aren't going to counseling. Like, there's a big need in that. Are there things you think we can do to help, like, put healthy steps into our community and our culture to either A, get people towards counseling, or to help them to like take steps where they are even before they get to counseling?
That's a really good question. That's a wonderful question. Well, one, we need, I'm not sure what shifted over the past couple of years, but there has been a rise in kind of, I'm going to say bullying in our community. That's been becoming a little bit more frequent. So one is trying to get out there that we need to be more cohesive and supportive of one another. If we're already, within our own culture, we're kind of neck and neck and we're discouraging one another, it's going to be hard for a person to feel like that they can go get help or even do their own self-help. So I think that's huge. Now, as for what can we do, I haven't thought about that. That's a really good question. You got me stumped.
Because I'm just thinking, like, I know that we can't fix everyone's problems. I know that we can't do that, and there's no substitute for like good counseling or care in that capacity. But like, something to stop the bleeding, proverbially, just to be able to like let people be able to like, what is it? What do you call it when you do medical stuff in the battlefield? There's a term for it. Like either way, that's the idea of just like
We're
the
both stopped.
yeah, we both stopped. So you wanted to do your heading towards your own geek practice as a goal and everything. You shared a name of what you wanted to call it with me, and then I think we worked on a graphic or something at one point in time too, and everything. Tell us about that, like what the goal or the idea of it is.
Yeah, sure. So it will be called, or I'm calling it now, Revive and Conquer. And the idea
Cool
is
name.
to, I know, and it took forever to come up with. I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh, we're getting
That's so good. It's
there.
so good. Yeah, I love it. Good. Sorry, good.
Yeah. Oh no, you're fine. So just to back up, so Revive and Conquer, and whenever you guys see the symbol for it, you will see, I'm a big Final Fantasy X fan. It's one of my favorite games. And in the symbol, you will see Kamari's halberd. I might have pronounced that wrong. Don't come after me, you guys. And then you will see Yuna's staff. And pretty much it means that you are able to come and get rest and heal, and then be able to fight whatever challenges that you have. And I would like to be that support in our community. So the idea is to be able to show geeks everywhere, geeks, nerds, bleaks, blurts, all that good stuff, that it's okay to rest and come get help when you need it.
I've not
So
heard the term
that's,
bleak before.
yeah, it came out a couple of years ago.
Was like, I've heard blurred forever, but bleak. I was like, okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's pretty much the idea. It's just getting in the community and letting you could come from rest, and there's ways to help you conquer things that may be following you, or current things that's popping up. But there's help out there.
See, I literally think it would do my soul good and everyone else's too, just like to be literally walking by a con, walking to a con, and there'd be like a therapy booth. Like, not that you have to do therapy there, but just saying, hey, this is a thing. Like, the idea of like walking through and seeing your banner there one time is just like, that's on things I want to see. I want to see that take place. So have you, like, in your time of like all the entertainment, nerd fandom, everything you've watched, what has been the best representation of a mental health professional in entertainment for you? Because they're not always great. Like, and I feel like mental health professionals and clergy always get like bad representation. Because even Ted Lasso is literally one of my favorite things, like tatted on my chest. Like, it's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. But like just the stuff that the mental health professional does in that season, it's just like, that's not okay. Like one of my friends, like at, yeah, I don't want to spoil things 'cause I want you to watch it one day, but yeah, like it's just like even things. So like, what's been the best fictional representation of a mental health professional for you?
Oh my goodness, I don't think anyone's gonna know this show because it's been so long.
Okay, be it.
And
Just go.
I, and so there was a show called Unnecessary Roughness. And it was a female therapist. And she ended up becoming the therapist of a famous football player that ended up having some sort of trauma. And then she kind of started getting more famous, clients to come in. She showed a very good balance of being there versus trying to set boundaries. Because she had, like, her practice was at her home, unfortunately. Don't do that. I would never do that. No, don't do that. And so she did very good with showing that she cared while also saying, hey, you can't do A, B, and C. But it also shows the challenges of when do I care too much? And how she had to kind of figure that out and You know, how am I letting therapy kind of consume my life or my care for my client? That's what kind of stuck out to me the most.
Okay. On the inverse, what's the worst representation of a mental health professional you've seen in entertainment?
Any character that is sitting, when you go into an office and the client is laying on a couch and they're sitting there with a clipboard, any character like that across the board. Yeah.
Have you watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith yet?
The new series?
Yeah.
I have not.
Okay. We'll leave that there. There's some therapy stuff in there too, and it's delightful. You've also been pursuing some stuff on biblical counseling or Christian counseling lately too, right? What's led you down that journey?
Oh wow. So Faith and Fandom did. Okay, so I mean, I have to give a shout out. Like my best friend Crystal got me going into cons. She's like, "Hey, have you ever heard of Faith and Fandom? Like I think you will really love it. Like, you know, you love Jesus and you're into this. You know, let's go find it." And Faith and Fandom allowed me to embrace my nerdiness while loving Jesus when kind of part of my family dynamics. If you know, if you love the nerdy stuff, then you can't love Jesus. So it was a wonderful thing. So, you know, you're awesome for that. I thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. But I started, I think over the past year, I started getting more believers to come in that are going through some very heavy things. And a lot of people were kind of just telling them, you know, just pray about it, you know, like not really providing active support, right? And so it was led to me like, hey, like, what if you get your certification and you can help these believers kind of heal while also strengthening their relationship with Jesus? And then I will also get people who are in geek culture that are believers and they're torn. And they're like, they're torn with loving what they love and loving Jesus at the same time. And so I was like, what a wonderful way to bring all of those worlds together. And so I was like, well, I need to be more knowledgeable to help. And so I kind of signed up for my certification. And I'm hoping that, yeah, that I can bring balance with all of those worlds, that you can be a believer and get help if you need it. You could be in geek culture and get help if you need it. There is no judgment. Some of us, we just need someone to guide us through very tough things.
And I'm a just on that we just like I was telling you before we start recording, like my church has just did a 5-week series on mental health, and we worked with therapists, and like immediately, you know, we were getting backlash of like, what? Why are you bringing therapy? Like, and that's like we had a threefold goal of doing the series, and we hit this every week was like, one, getting professional help is not a negative. It's not weakness. It's not that you don't have faith. It's just saying you've got something that you need help with, and that is important too. That you're not alone in what you're struggling with.
Right.
And it's like, because most of y'all have stuff that you aren't admitting because you think you're by yourself. And then the third one was that you know your spiritual health does tie into your mental health, and your health mental health does tie into your spiritual health, and you need help with both. And you know, it's never like I that's one of the things I've hated the most of kind of church culture is like, you know, you're just not praying enough if something bad's happening, or you know, you're struggling with things. We're not all equipped to do this. I've been in full-time ministry for what year is this? Like 25 years.
Oh,
And
wow.
right, yeah. I was like, is that math right? Yeah. In some capacity, I've been in full-time ministry for 25 years, and I had a lady that wanted to meet with me recently, because she'd lost an adult child, and she was just not doing okay. And you know, I listened, you know, I heard her heart, and I was like, okay. Now we need to find you someone better equipped to deal with this. Because it's like, listen, I'm not going to pray over you right now and this magically be fixed. And
Right.
it's like, and there are people who are better trained to help with this. Like, we need to at least get you in a grief share. We need to get you a therapy in some capacity. But like, there are people that literally were like, meh, therapy. Like, when we, it's people are gonna be mad about everything, dude.
True story.
It's like, I think we did a Faith and Fandom-ish like movie series. Like, I didn't want to do it. Like, my other pastors were like, no, we should do this, like a theatrical series or whatever. We had like two families leave because that was sinful. And I'm like, where have you been? And like, do you know me? Like, you've been here for years. And this threw
Wow.
you off? Okay. But like, literally, there are people equally upset, you know, that we are promoting or encouraging mental health. And I'm like, we are all trying to help you. Like, we're literally all trying to help you, and none of us know all we're doing. And one of the things I've been so cautious of, especially in the spiritual end of things, is like, if somebody says they've got everything you need, run away. Like, because they are not healthy, because it's just a hard place. And obviously, I don't want you going, you can't go in detail stuff. Like, has there been topics or situations that you've just felt ill-equipped to deal with? Like,
Oh yes. For sure. Like certain diagnoses, I refer out. I don't mess with it. Like things like borderline personality disorder, things like that, I don't. If I have a very, very, young client that's going through something, and it's form of neglect or abuse, I usually refer out because those can be very tough. Other than that, I'm actually kind of good.
okay. Those are still, you know, hard things to deal with. Do you find yourself like passively diagnosing people when you're hanging out
Always.
with
Always listen. I do it with people I hang out with. I do it on characters in games, anime, movies. I'm just like always picking apart. And then like in my personal relationships, I have to kind of like take a seat back and be like, okay, Candace, be the friend, not the therapist. Don't try to no, just don't do that. It can be hard. It can be pretty hard.
It's a hard, I would imagine that's a hard role to turn off when it comes to actually, you know, caring for people in that capacity. If you had the ability, and I think we may have already covered this too, but if you had the ability to let people know one thing about mental health and mental health care, what would it be?
You have a choice. Don't give up. So when you go look for help and you're not vibing with your therapist, you are able to find someone else. If you go get help and you don't like your treatment plan, you can say that you don't like it and you want it changed. A lot of people run away because they feel like, of course, they're coming to a professional. You got the power dynamics, right? That they don't have to say so, but you have a choice. You have the power. And as long as you go in with that, you will be able to find a professional to help you, and get started on your healing journey.
On journeys, on the journey aspect of it, how long from your experience does it take for someone to kind of, I know everybody's individual, but like, do you see like a certain like time frame for most people to kind of get a good footing?
That's a good question. If they do the work, okay, if they do the work, usually if my person follows their resiliency plan, they're coming to their sessions like they're supposed to in a timely manner, I give them about 3 to 6 months to see changes, like changes in their mood, having a brighter perspective, being able to find things that they enjoy and things like that. If they don't do the work, then of course that kind of varies. You're looking at a year plus if they don't actually be proactive and do the work.
So therapy is not necessarily a lifetime commitment.
Right.
Okay. Do you think, do you see, like, do you feel like it can go on too long?
Yes. But that only happens if, how can I put it? That only happens if there is no change whatsoever. right? Like, I mean, you have some people who just like to have a therapist because they like to be able to come in and check in, get things off their chest, and keep it moving. However, if you're seeing a person, you're seeing no changes, nothing's moving forward, or even they start to regress, then that may mean that it's time for them to find somebody else, and that therapy isn't working.
On what you just said, what would be the best indication that therapy is working?
That it is working?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So the person, so each person has their own goals, right? And so you want to be able to see that they are able to implement coping skills more often and that they're having less crises. So whenever they're going through stressful moments in life, they're actually able to work through them by using the coping skills that they've learned.
Solid. All right. Is there anything else you would want to share with people? Anything you want people to know about you or anything in that capacity?
Not much, just that if you are in the federal area, you're amongst the geek culture and you're looking for a therapist, you're looking for someone to listen to you, to help you, even if you need some resources, right? Come and find me. I am at Spring Lake Counseling Center, and they're going to provide links and information on the podcast, but I'm here.
That's awesome, dude. Well, Candace, thank you for taking the time just to talk with me and share with me. And I know you've had a week and I've had a week and yeah, it's been a day. And I obviously, yeah, I was telling you I've made poor life choices today. It's been a it's been a day. But thank you for just what you do, because in the time that I've known you, like, I've seen a very compassionate heart from you, and for how you care for the people in your world. And just like I spend a lot of time on social media, half of it's work, half of it's not. But you getting excited about things, like you'll say, like, stuff for your little peeps. Well, it's just like, I love that you care. And like, that's important. And you're a credit to the geek world and the therapy world and there's just the counseling world in general. I'm grateful for you.
Oh my
So.
goodness, thank you so much. That means so much.
Everybody, you'll check the links and everything. You'll find, all the information we provide you for Candace's stuff and any resources that she's sharing with us. And you can also head over to lovethynerd.com/faithandfandom to check out previous interviews, like the wrestler that my daughter loves. And last month we did Cut Right, the rapper, and we also did a horror writer who's, a Christian, he's a Christian who's a horror writer, but not writing Christian horror. It's like its own thing.
That's it.
There's lots of cool people that we introduce you to. So head over there, and we appreciate you taking time to listen. If you're taking time to watch, thank you as well. And hope you have a great day.